Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison, joined as always by my co-hosts, Mike Rassay, Chris Epps. Later, we'll be joined by Mike McGoy. What's up, fellas? How y'all feeling?
What up? Feeling great, man. Feeling great. Honestly, feeling fucking great.
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling yourself?
Yeah, man. Couldn't be worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get into it. You know, big news. Crypto has crashed again.
again and again.
Yeah. Everybody is panicked. Fear and panic is in the negative. The stock market is crashing. Inflation is through the roof. We're officially in a recession, unofficially. Shout out to Jerome and Janet for fucking up the whole shit. I mean, it's not really their fault. But yeah, this is just the rebound of COVID partially, but the crypto market was specifically affected by a young lad who goes by the name of Do Kwon.
Yeah. Apparently someone just showed up to his house today, or there was a mob in front of his apartment in Singapore just like earlier today.
Oh, so he lives in Singapore.
I think everyone just learned that right now. Like half the, you know, crypto Twitterverse just learned that he lives in Singapore. Someone showed up to his house today and was pissed, talking to his wife, asking for some, you know, reparations. So
it's crazy to me that out of all of the people in the world and out of all of the things that happen in the world in terms of finance, we were seemingly blindsided by this guy who I don't know a lot about. He seems to be somewhat known in the crypto world, and obviously he's acquired hundreds of millions of billions of dollars. But he was able to basically tank the whole system by creating some sort of Ponzi scheme with his Luna protocol. The stable coins weren't stabling.
So. Yeah, and they never are. So what happened exactly was there's been a blockchain / protocol called Terra Luna, which is its own chain, like Bitcoin or Ethereum is its own chain. And it was based on a stable coin, which we talked about before, called UST, or US, or is the United States Terra, I guess, supposed to be denominated to the dollar bill or other stable coins that are worth a dollar. And it's on this thing called Terra Luna. And it's, you know, supposed to be backed in, like a lot of things are backed by gold. Most of the stuff is backed by gold, or now credit. Everything's backed by credit. Well, this protocol or this chain was backed by Bitcoin. The stablecoin was backed by Bitcoin and it's an algorithmic stablecoin protocol is what they call it. So it's like you make something pegged to a dollar by using the base asset to make it pegged to that dollar. Like you buy and sell and manipulate your funds and make that shit worth a dollar. And the market's been going down for like the last month or so. Like we've been kind of talking about that in this podcast for a minute. So has everyone else. So it's just funny that this happened in May, which is a timing that we all talk about it shows up. It's evident that May, that you should always just, we say May run away.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A year to the day after Elon was on SNL,
or whatever happened May 2 years ago, or was it 4 years ago in 2017? Like it's right. Always May. It's a bad time to be trading in general. It seems like May is always the time when there's a crash. Last year, like in the crypto Twitter world, we didn't even care about Elon. It wasn't even that. It was too much leverage. And you know, and I know.
Well, no. That's not. Well, you know, and I know that that's not true. Elon was pumping.
You can go a lot look of at people talking about how SBF was it Sam Bankman-Fried, the guy who, you know, runs FTX. They had a thread about how they had to sell Bitcoin and basically fuck up everyone who's over leveraged bullish.
I understand. Yeah, I get that part of it. All I'm saying is
there's always a narrative, but this was like the narrative this time, and it just happened to be something that is a Ponzi, and most things are Ponzi's, and it was kind of just like written in the sand, dude. Like this dude was taunting everyone. He was talking a lot of shit. He was like asking for it from the U.S. government. Like he was,
yeah,
it's going to happen no matter what, in my opinion. And it's good to happen now, and it's going to be even worse the next time it happens. Is basically my take.
Yeah, the parallel that I want to draw to Elon and Doquan is that they're both supporting Ponzi's, Dogecoin being a popular Ponzi scheme. But that's not really it. It's the fact that when people, or when one thing crashes, it sucks the life out of the market. And so when Dogecoin crashed after Elon's performance, people were pushing it, saying, oh, it's going to go to a dollar. It shot up to, it was at 60 cents. And then we were all longing
this
it.
This is the thing. You're
Wait. Let me finish. Yeah. We were all longing it. Everybody was pouring their money into Dogecoin. Then it went to 73, 75 cents, whatever its peak was. Then he gets on SNL and starts doing his thing. Then it basically crashes. Everybody who was new to crypto had started to try to buy Dogecoin. They wanted to get rich. And that crash, in effect, with everything else that was going on, I don't want to make it like that was the only activity, but I'm saying that being a incident where retail was affected and a lot of people lost their money on those one, that one coin. The sentiment, I feel like, is a big part of these crashes because, you know, to me, logically, why are all of these coins dropping? Why is ApeCoin, Bitcoin, Ethereum all dropping 10%, 20%, 30% at the same time, right? These are all independent blockchains, independent of each other, that should not be correlated. But I understand that this particular instance, Terra, Luna, because it was connected to the concept of stable coins and that basically being disrupted, fucked up the whole ecosystem because people believe that, and I am one of them, and I think that, you know, it's such a crazy notion that the system was set up with everybody under the belief system that these stable coins were one-to-one with the dollar and that there was almost little to no possibility of them not transitioning from being exactly equal or very close to equal with the dollar. So once that bubble is burst, once that becomes not a reality anymore, it upsets the whole ecosystem. And I get that, you know.
So the problem was with not the problem. The thing is, with both last year and this year, the market was already going down the whole time. The market was going down the whole time for the last month.
Right.
And when Elon went up, he just went up and fucked up Doge, which was going up. And that was the hype thing. But there's literally, we were already going down before he went up. That was like the savior for people in crypto. That's the thing people understand. Like the time to know it's eons past. It literally, a day is an eon. Like people are talking to me now. It's been 3 days of this happening. And today's like the worst day, but it's been 99% down every day for like the last 3 days straight.
Right.
But today is the day everyone really wants to talk about it and make, I mean, like in the news too. And like, I'm getting like DMs and Twitter, I mean, on Instagram.
Yeah. I think also it's like a great shield for the stock market crashing because people can say, look, crypto's down, crypto's crashing.
Oh, but everything's my God. Down.
But everything's and down. But
this is
but,
just the one thing that needed to be topped over. And I've heard from so many people who are not in crypto enough telling me that it's a sure thing. They saw from someone, they heard from someone. Everyone who I know who's on fucking XRP, everyone who I know who's talking about fucking ADA and all this other bullshit, it's all bullshit in my opinion. And I will play the game, but I'm not going to tell my people to buy it because I know this shit's going to happen. It's going to go to zero.
Yeah, my Uber driver this morning, which I don't love when Uber drivers start talking to you when when you have headphones in, he tried to sell me on Scrooge Coin.
What?
yeah. yeah, he was He didn't even know I was in the crypto at all, but he was like, you
he
know.
Didn't even know that you
oh, okay, we got another month of thousand people.
You fucked off 30,000 plus Bitcoin, huh?
Nah, he had no clue.
No idea.
He had no clue. And so this is the funny part of the
conversation. I'm half a mil liquidated, bitch. You want to hear about a Scrooge coin?
So this is the funny part, bro. He's talking to me and he's like, you know, I don't like to gamble. I'm not a gambler. I'm a dealer. He's a blackjack dealer at a casino, but he doesn't like to gamble. But his friend is, I guess, invested into this Scrooge company, which is like a gambling website that allows people to play, you know, video poker, Texas Hold'em, whatever, and, you know, playing in that token, whatever. And he's like, oh yeah, you look at coin market cap, you could look at it, and it's like 0.00000024 or something. And I'm just like, all right, yeah, cool, man. He's like, yeah, but I'm not a gambler though. And I'm like, well, you realize like this is a gamble. And it's just like he's saying all the things that gamblers say, like, you know. He's like, no, I like to invest, or I believe in this guy, you know, he's got 30 restaurants and this and that. And I'm like, okay, just because he's made a bunch of good investments in his life doesn't mean he can't make a bad one and have you in it. But yeah, so that was interesting just to see like how people are, different ways people are looking at the market. Of course, like you got your requisite homies hitting you up. How low is it going to go? Everybody wants to know. Where's the bottom, you know, because nobody wants to say like, oh, they're fully out, you know. It's just like, where's the bottom? And then you got your other homies who may not be responding right now because they're
I'm looking at stories about people losing their life savings.
Yeah, I was about to say,
a lot of people have
gotten fucked up.
Yeah, they're really fucked up. Like,
man, it's like a lot of the people that I know, like a lot of the people in my Twitter feed are fucked up. Like millionaires are fucked up right now.
But there's another thing though too. I mean, I understand like the millionaires part, but I saw Bomani Jones say something like, yeah, people saying they're losing their life savings, but like that could be $35. Like we don't know what people's life savings is nowadays.
Yeah, and also that's people also love, their fucking fault, bro.
Yeah, people love to throw that term around.
You know, from a, I believe that there is some millennials that ape their 401ks into crypto.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
But so, the millennial 401k, I mean, that, yes. Even if though, like I think Chris was going here, and, you know, again, as like the adult in the room, like, dog, you gambled your life savings, bro. That's your fault.
Yeah.
And you put it,
feel me? Because you could have just took it out.
Yeah.
You could have taken it out. Hey,
man, but the sentiment is like what Jason was just talking about, man. Everybody wants to get rich. Like, I'm about to flip this 40K into mil. Like, this is up only. You know what I'm saying?
This is why I have limited like remorse for these, because again, you're playing in my field now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
feel me? You're in my field now, beginner. Right, and so you got to then now take the lumps and licks that come with jumping in someone else's field. I'm not painting. I'm not making music. I'm not making movies. Like I'm not doing like this. Is you're now in the financial field, and by playing around in the financial field and not really adhering to the laws that have been set way before this asset class or the two previous asset classes before that have been here, you don't gamble your whole nut.
Or at least listen to the people who've lost it all already and are still in it, bro. That's the part that makes it hard for me, and I feel like for a lot of people who are. Like, if you look at, we're talking about how the memes are really good. A lot of people are like offended by the memes because they've been here for a year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, bro, if you've been here for at least 2 years, or even if you've been here for a year from now and you were like, all in. If you were in here from a year from now and you're all in, you would have lost.
Really
it all
funny. It's really like funny stuff. It makes me laugh. I'm down.
Yeah, but we're all down together.
You know,
And it's a collective thing. Like that's the one thing. Like I hope everyone who's down right now, who's lost all their shit, keeps trying. It seems impossible. I'm down. Everyone's like, I've been down. Like people don't know, I've been down for like a minute compared to like the last year. I've been down for like since the year began because the whole market's been going down technically. But you stick through it, bro. It pays you back tenfold every time.
A lot of these people are liquidated. They're not just like down, they're liquidated.
Yeah, a lot of these people, I saw stablecoin pools were getting liquidated today and last night, bro. Like all of their stable coins.
So all of that yielding and farming and all of that shit was tricky. Like everything that niggas thought was safe in the crypto space was not safe. It was
Coinbase. It's Coinbase. Yeah.
You could have just bought Ethereum like we've said this whole time.
Well, I don't know. And that's the whole thing. You know, it's funny because y'all make fun of me for being a Bitcoin maxi and all of that and loving on that. But I mean, it still seems to be the safest play after all of the shit that's happened.
We never said it wasn't the safest play. We speak in regards of what's the best yielding play. That's where we usable separate on the whole Bitcoin maximalist theory.
Right.
In perspective, it's like we never said Bitcoin wasn't safe.
Right.
It wasn't the safest. We just said the bitch is a slow bus.
Right.
By the way, she's down more than any altcoin that I have.
Well, maybe altcoins that you have, yes. But I guess you guys didn't make that 8 purchase then.
Why would I do that?
I don't know. Chris was advocating.
Chris was advocating it
for y'all DAO, so I guess y'all didn't.
It was a great move. It was a great move.
Yeah, two, 3 months. Like we all bought it. We all sold.
How long? Y'all didn't hold it. I thought
you have to just sleep in the pussy.
I thought y'all was holding. I thought y'all believed in the board long term. Don't leave it in.
I don't like to pull out. It's like not. It's you got to do it. I don't want to do it,
bro. You.
I try not to do it.
Right.
Wipe yourself up, dude.
Hey, hold on, man. Let's slam on Skills Bitcoin maximalism some more. Actually, have you seen that fucking chart, my boy? Are you kidding me right now?
What?
That Bitcoin chart is terrible, bro, over the last 18 months. Terrible.
18 months? What do you mean? It hit an all-time high in November.
Yeah. Now where is it?
But you can't say 18 months, bro, because within the last, what was that, 7 months ago? It was at an all-time high. So you can't say 18 months. Within the last 7 months, it's been bad. I mean, it's been, but that's the thing. Everything in the space follows it. So if you're saying Bitcoin, oh, look at the chart. That means everything else.
No.
There's been
uptrend moments for the other altcoins.
Within the 7 months. But I'm saying within the last 18 months, Bitcoin hit its all-time high.
Yeah. What does that mean, though, if you're holding it right now?
Bro, what does that mean for anything if you're holding it right now? Anything you're holding right now in the crypto space is dog shit. It's dead. It's at the bottom of wherever it started. So nothing's good right now.
That's not true.
Okay, so let's give me some examples. What you see in the space right now that's in a good place?
There's overall, I think that's you're giving like a blanket kind of like vantage point, because there's projects where if you minted it, you're still up 7x, like even though like it went 40x and it's down.
So let's hop over to the NFT corner. Let's get off the crash for a second. Let's hop over to the NFT corner. Let's talk about your favorite project that also got blown up this week.
He couldn't wait to this.
Let's go, Skills.
Let me hear it.
Since we want to start coming for heads.
Yeah, let me hear it. Let's talk
about your boys at Azuki. We were 30 ETH floor a couple weeks ago.
40 ETH floor.
It was second to Yuga. It was looking like the second coming of Christ. And now it all falls down. Now we got Beans were 5.6 ETH floor at one point when I looked at them. You know, 7 ETH pre-reveal. Everything was looking sweet. It was a good project. We believed in the team.
I still believe in the project. I still believe in the community.
Yeah. Okay, so let's, Mike, explain what happened with...
Man, honestly, I was so disgusted, I couldn't even read the thread. So Chris has to explain. I couldn't read it. I was like, I woke up one day and Azuki was down to 7 ETH,
bro. It should have.
I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. So Chris, I went to five
for a second.
Really?
Yeah. When we were talking about it, when we were like at the heat of it, like the day before the spaces, they held.
She's back to 13 like by 2 minutes.
No, it's back creeping up on the come up.
Yeah, but go ahead, Chris.
It got revealed that one of the main founders of Azuki, Zagabond, that's his handle on Twitter, was a founder of like three other failed projects.
Rugs.
Two that failed.
Rug pulls.
One still going. It's just pretty niche funks, which we've talked about. My boy Pauly is another founder of funks, which is just left facing punks. So apparently he helped create that and created Tendies, which he didn't rug it. It just died and he moved on. And then he made, I forgot the other project.
So basically, long story short is he's been trying to hit a lick on this 10,000
people. He's a creator.
And what happened was he left Azuki in the announcement of that, it was revealed that he'd made these projects and left them before Azuki, which also left a even worse taste in people's mouth when he said he's leaving Azuki because he felt like the sentiment was that he had and what was from it was that he didn't achieve what he thought was a success. And so he's going to make something else or something. So he's going to drop his or leave his position and move on and someone else will take over. And it's just weird because like I feel like it was early for him to say that in general. I don't understand how he feels like that in general. I don't know what his targets were. Like, what are his targets to say that he's not pleased
let's try to explain a little better to the audience. So basically, Azuki is a PFP project. you start going on tangents. Azuki is a PFP project that was very popular. Much like Bored Ape, but not quite there, but it was right in the very next tier. One of the founders made a thread detailing projects that he had previously worked on that were viewed as rug pulls, but unsuccessful projects for artist creator trying to find his way. If I'm trying to be objective. And, people were not fond of the thread that came out. And did he do a spaces as well? Was there a Azuki spaces?
Afterwards, yeah, like 2 days later.
Yeah.
After he started tanking.
Yeah, so after he releases this thread, which I don't know what prompted him to put the thread out, but it got a lot of traction on NFT Twitter. The floor price started dropping drastically for Azuki and all of its offshoots. And then... he did his spaces, the price continued to drop, and people were just I mean, people in the NFT space are extremely sensitive. And I mean, I guess you could say the same for the stock market and everything else. But any news that isn't some like fake utility or whatever is usually met with people being upset. And yeah, the price dropped drastically. It's rebounding now. But yeah, I don't think I've seen a project that was that high in terms of like blue chip status fall off so hard so quickly. But it's still alive. It's not fully dead, but it did lose about 60% of their value, right?
For a second. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then it just happened to coincide the same week as the biggest crash in crypto in the last few years. I was about to
say, that's my...
So it was terrible timing. It was terrible timing because...
It's perfect timing. No, it's perfect timing for you, everyone to think that Luna is the reason why we're crashing and blame it on whatever. All of it had to kind of settle down and was on the route of settling down. Everything was on a downtrend right now for like the last few months.
Right.
And so that happened. Like in my brain, I think that happened. Oh, so then all the whales in Azuki have to cash out other shit to make sure they haven't, to stop other losses.
Right.
And so everyone's in Terra. Everyone I know was in Terra.
Right. So
then all those people are like, that's the thing where we talk about psyops. We're like, oh, you think it's this and that, and that, but it's literally, right. It's been happening for a minute, in my opinion. And all this shit was going to go down. It was inevitable. And even I and we, all my friends, all the experts, we all kind of can't see it because we're all wrapped up in the day-to-day narrative when overall it's been going down for a month or two. So it makes sense Azuki was going down, or that happened, and then the announcement that was happening and other shit was going down and all the other NFTs that we've talked about, like
invisible. But that's the thing though, is like nobody wanted to really believe it. Like, and for me, having gone through the crash last year, like I know the feeling. And so it's like, I'm not trying to jump down anybody's throat, but like, I know the feeling of when you're holding and you want to let go, and you should let go, because if you let go, like if I would have let go, you know, when I saw my account, I remember it was 51,000 something, something. And if I would have sold it then, I would have had all my money. And you know what I'm saying? Like I could have got out of all my leverage plays and all of that, and could have watched the crash from the sidelines and jumped back in and had, and could have really 2x myself just by letting go, you know? So I understand, like, I don't want to come at anybody, like I'm making fun of them for not getting out. Like nobody knows, but what do you guys describe your feeling as when you're watching something go down and you knew like, damn, I should have sold my NFT at this ETH, or I should have sold my coin at this dollar amount when I knew it was crashing, or, you know, like how I always will text you guys like, damn, I should have put in a short on this when it was $60.
I only do that now in the shower, like once or twice a week. I stopped doing it watching my screen. I've learned. You'll stop. Everyone else here will stop doing it less and less. Big Mike probably doesn't do it anymore. Mike probably doesn't do it as much. Like me and Mike probably just do it once in a while now. Like you'll still do it, you know, for another year because you're still learning, you know? You're still getting acclimated, you know? But
No, I think that's just how I am. I think it all goes to psychology and just your nature of how you deal with losses. And like, again, I think everybody has a little bit of a gambler's mentality. And it depends on, you know, it's like people on the spectrum. It depends on how far you are on the spectrum of that mentality. Seriously. So it's like, are you willing to like beat yourself up for losses? Do you just let them run off your shoulder? You know, like how do you feel as the loss is coming? Like, I think I've said this quote before. Ernest Hemingway has a quote about going broke. He said, it happens slowly, then all at once. And that's pretty much like for any gambler who knows that they're about to lose all their money, like, or anybody who's watching a chart or seeing a crash happen in the financial market, we kind of know, like, you know, like, damn, I should get out right now. Or damn, like, you know, like when you start seeing it crash, you're like, fuck. And then you just got to hold on to the bottom. Like,
Yeah. And I mean
where are your hedges? Where are the backstops? Where are your safety nets? Where are
well, you can't hedge an NFT, Mike. You can't hedge an NFT.
You can if you sell it.
If only if you sell.
Yeah. So you know. So Azuki's at 12.9 actually right now. That's not bad.
I mean,
that's not bad at all.
I mean, I don't even have an Azuki. I have a bean.
And beans are at 1.8, so I think that's fine, in my opinion.
That's fine. I've been down 50-60% before. Yeah. That's nothing. Like,
that
shit gets eaten up one marvelous day.
So quick.
All the young ladies are outside eating snow cones, and mm-hmm. all the kids are smelling dandelions, and we have an 80% day.
Mm-hmm. You know, slowly and then suddenly.
Are you going to take
slowly, then all at once? To quote Ernest Hemingway,
yeah,
the great American author.
Are you going to take your profits on that day, sir?
Look, dude, I could have, you know, been up whatever, but I was never selling at that anyway. Like, I was never selling my bean at 7 because I was like, my target is another number, a little bit higher than that. So my only thing is just
like NFTs were your hedge, kind of. And yeah. In my opinion, NFTs have also proved themselves in the last 3 or 4 days because all of the blue chip, all of the things that are worth thousands in volume are not at zero, while a multi-billion trillion-dollar, almost trillion-dollar protocol is about to go to zero. It's going to zero. Luna is going to zero, people. It might be 0.00001, but it can go 99% negative each day. Like, that 99% can happen every 24 hours, and that's what people don't realize. There's a lot more money to get out of that shit. Like, at this point, there's people with only a couple thousand left in there, and they're going to get that couple thousand because they got to eat.
Right.
With NFT, like with some of these NFTs, you've seen the sales. You've seen World of Woman and Other Deeds still going, and Azuki still going, and all the things that got some provenance and value and shit that we like is still going up, or still, it's not dying.
Yeah, and I think, you know, everything will have its day, you know.
Facts.
If you believe in the project, like Murakami, I think, you know, when the NFT market becomes a little bit healthier, I think Murakami's project will do very well. So I feel comfortable holding it right now, being down a couple ETH. But no one wants to hear about a guy that's down a couple ETH.
All right. I get it. We're holding our down NFTs until the market turns around.
Yeah, you're holding that Hex too, buddy.
Holders.
Hey, Hex,
you know what I'm saying?
Hex is,
holders.
You know, Hex is okay right now.
Fuck I me. Mean, to be well, you know, I'm not going to completely dox my position, but yeah, looking not too bad right now, man.
What's it at?
I don't know, 11, 12 cents. You know, nothing too crazy. It's just
crazy. Holding up. It's holding up.
Holding up,
loading up. That's all you can do, right? Hold up, and load up.
And we are loaded, my boy.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
I do think like this is definitely about to show which things are about to survive. I think stuff like Hex will survive. I hate to say it out loud. Hex is going to be.
I hate to say it out loud.
It's going to be the
why do you hate to say
it? Biggest, hottest thing on the market, for baby. Some reason.
I just follow Richard Hart on Twitter today, by the way.
It's the best.
Because I don't want you guys
to be enlightened.
I don't want you guys to think I'm hating on him. I don't have any ill will against him.
Because he has all those nice watches that you want?
No.
That's why I started following him. I only followed him this year because of his watches.
No. It was
because you want to dress like him.
I want that Louis suit for my mama.
That Louis suit was crazy.
I would wear that shit every day. You know I would wear that shit every day.
Hey, and the best part is, man, the part that I appreciate the most is, and he says this, if you ever watch a full stream, this is a monkey suit. I don't like any of this stuff. I wear this shit because I know it attracts you guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he wears it a lot, so I don't know about all that. I think he might be that. Some of that might be cap, but
on his live streams and in his public viewings, yeah, probably because he's in character like Rick Ross.
Right. So the reason why I followed him was because he jumped in this thread that I sent you guys earlier about when did you see the top signal? Yeah. Which I thought was great because
everyone saw it there. I literally had 69,420 on my FTX. What was it like the yeah? I had that shit too. We all had that number. He's not someone special, bro.
No. But I'm just saying the thread itself.
Yeah. The thread is him saying he called the top and sold it, and then he's
no. Forget about him for a second. I'm saying the thread of all of the moments that people were posting, whether it was your boy Ty Lopez or people were saying Ohm Forks. There was a bunch of stuff. Island Boys, like all of these different, moments that we've had of just kind of outrageous things, outrageous people in the space, I thought was pretty funny. Yeah, we had a good week for memes.
Yeah.
Memes had a great week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You meme to stop from crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I especially like the welcome back to work. Diamond hands.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Yeah.
That was great.
The McDonald's employees welcoming you back to work and calling you Diamond Hands is a nickname. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Did Michael Saylor post that too? I thought I saw that.
Did he? Well, yeah, Bitcoin is currently under his average spot buy for Bitcoin. It's a few grand under that right now. So you can front run Michael Saylor if you want to now, if you were interested in buying Bitcoin.
But yeah, and by the way, this is the same guy that told you to go ahead and leverage everything, mortgage the home, and buy Bitcoin when he did. And he's now negative. And he's leveraged, so he's negative someone else's money as well.
Yeah, he's underwater right now.
Bitcoin maxis.
I mean, the people who put their money in stable coins, which is crazy because a lot of people did. And that was something that I recommended. Like, what do you guys think about USDC? Because I assumed that USDC was actually
the only one I've told you everyone on here that puts their money in. But USDT started depegging yesterday. That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why the stable coin whales got fucking flushed out yesterday on some protocols and chains. USDC is the only one that I would trust because I know it's centralized and the government's got their hand on it.
Right.
Sick.
Yeah, see?
And we discussed
this. But you can't have sovereignty just right away. You got to, like, give a reach. You got to let them in a little bit.
I'm reading an article right now on MarketWatch, and they're discussing the stable coins, and they're saying Terra crash. What does it mean for other stable coins? And so they're basically like giving you the full rundown. Also, man, a lot of legacy finance media FUD going on right now. A
lot of it.
And they're very rich to do that, as if the stock market's not down massively.
Yeah. They're using crypto as a cover for the stock market being down.
The other covers, Luna's cover is a cover for what's already been happening.
Yeah, no, they're throwing
Luna with the insurance.
They're throwing crypto in front of the bullets, the hail of bullets that should be coming at them. I mean, Netflix was $700 a couple months ago. Now it's what, 160? I mean,
like, at least that's actually value. That's a good valuation in my opinion. God damn, this shit is horrible.
Right.
Ozark's right. Over now, so that shit should be worth like $50.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's so many stocks that have performed worse than a lot of coins this year. It's crazy. I saw a list of them earlier. I mean, I think Amazon is down bad, Tesla, the whole kid and caboodle. So yeah, I mean, legacy media, I agree with you, Mike, they're they're pushing this crypto crash narrative right now very hard in the face of the stock market actually being in a really terrible position.
And that's the thing where it all comes down to what particular asset class are you selling? Because you could basically tell who's selling what based off of who's pitching what.
Yeah.
And so you look at some of the legacy finance things where, yeah, they're running mutual fund commercials 7 out of 10 slots at 5 o'clock. Obviously, they're looking or trying to sell you mutual funds.
Right.
Right. Like, obviously, their instincts are what they're trying to do basically is push you a certain direction. So they can't basically fuck up their own bags by saying, well, the stock market's terrible. Then the next 10 seconds is an ad about, well, why you should invest in the stock market. So it's disingenuous because they act as if, you know, they're not being sponsored or, yeah, as if they're not being sponsored.
Yeah.
By legacy financial institutions looking to sell their products. So they have to sell us garbage mutual funds or SLDs or whatever ETFs that people don't really even fuck with anyway.
Yeah, that's the whole. Yeah, that's the whole play. You know, it's don't look over here, look over there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I love to tell the story of, like, you know, being being a financial advisor in Newport, and then, like, I'm wondering, like, why my managing partner keeps getting taken out to dinner or out to lunch by these particular, you know, like, reps from this.
Yeah,
I can't really name them, but certain companies. And, like, why they keep taking my boss out to lunch? If this is only about us selecting the best performing asset for our client or the best performing mutual fund that we could offer to our client, then why are we being schmoozed?
Well,
this is about something else. This is about handshakes and who gets paid the most per commission.
Yeah, he's getting taken to lunch, all right.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the game, man. So, well, with everything being down bad, there's two ways to look at it. You know, you could go to the highest window you see and jump out, or or you can look at it as there's a big sale on the things you like.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got 2 cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for your eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Exactly. You know,
skills. There's people really battling with that right now.
I feel them. I've been depressed about this shit. I feel like the best way is to make light of the situation. Obviously, nobody wants anybody to take their lives, especially over anything financial.
Ever.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's not.
Only thing I condone is Sudoku because that's honorable, and then you gotta do that shit. I mean,
is it called Sudoku or is that the game?
It's me being American. So okay. Harry Curry.
Yeah.
Bro, they're telling that fool to do that shit in Twitter. People are toxic as fuck. Telling someone, like, I understand you lost a lot of money, but it's your fault you gambled it. You can't tell someone to kill themselves because you gambled all your money.
Yeah.
Which is like the biggest problem I think with this whole thing. That's why I don't tell people what to buy or try not to. And if I do, it's just Ethereum. And also I don't have any sympathy when you lose all your money.
Right.
I feel you, but I don't have sympathy for if you've lost it all in that, like most people lost it all because they're all in on something that they don't know about or understand.
Right.
I'm now just reading that article I sent you guys from Arthur Hayes, the guy who made BitMEX, who made the first 100x leverage on Bitcoin. And he's telling you, like, I didn't realize that this coin was an algo stable coin, like what I invested in and lost thousands of dollars on like 3 months, 6 months ago, about maybe 8 months ago. At the end of the run, after this May, a year ago, algo stable coins became a trend. We all tried to make our own DAI, our own Luna. And it was just a bunch of like coders making their own, just like all these other Ponzi's or DeFi stuff. And they all are the same thing. Like right now it's in contraction instead of expansion. So when there's contraction, there's a bunch of more stable, like you have to print a bunch more Luna to balance the peg of the UST. And most people don't understand how, like what's going on. Like they could be actually helping the protocol and saving money, but they're just holding the Luna. Like it's not, you can't just set it and forget it. And that's something people don't realize. You can only set and forget Bitcoin and Ethereum, in my opinion.
Question for you, Chris, and that this kind of actually leads to what you just said in reference to set it and forget it. I was going to ask, like, how long is too long to sit in a stable coin, in your opinion? And the reason why I'm asking that is because I think, like, one of the first parts we had, I discussed how it saved me roughly 15 to 25% mid-transaction. If I just would have moved over to a stable coin to liquidate as opposed to moving over to liquidate.
You notice I paused right there for a second because I was thinking about that's the one thing that makes me always not, like, in my opinion, stabling up is just by holding ETH. For me, that's just for me. And, and also, I'm not a very good financial investment person, investor, advice, none of that. That's just because my bias in what ETH is. None of that shit. Like, it's just my bias, bro. I think Mike would agree also, like, you know, he'd be down, like, cash out into ETH, and if it goes to $1,000, that might hurt, whatever, but, like, I know where it's going. I think holding stables is hard for me to justify, because I'm not at that tier where I feel like having hundreds of thousands, I don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars just to hold in stable coins and feel comfortable yet. You can hold them forever. I would hold USDC forever if I was liquid and just had a bunch of money.
But that's the thing, is that really a stable coin? Like, we,
it is in my, it's pegged to the dollar. It's not pegged to Bitcoin. It's not an algorithm. Like, these are algorithmic stable coin. Like, Terra is based off of contraction and expansion of events of the coin minting both of those coins to balance out the price to make it $1. So to do that, you got to sell and buy and burn and do all the shit so the ribbon gets tighter. And that's like a meme that I've been posting. Like it's a thing, like that suicide roller coaster in Sweden or whatever. You've seen that shit? I don't know if anyone's
heard
about this thing. It's like a roller coaster someone made, and it starts up really high and it just goes into a thousand loops, smaller and smaller, and it kills you. But it balances out at like a certain thing. It's some guy made up a design, and that's meme.
I'm not a true believer of the stable. I've never been a stable guy, man. You know, I'm in crypto. If I'm in crypto, I'm in crypto. I'm ETH step.
Yeah, ETH is oil.
You know, that's why I work in the If I want dollars, I work. That's why I do what I do in the fiat world. But in the crypto space, it's all about that gasoline, baby.
Gasoline. And I feel that, and that's the reason why for me, it's like, I asked that question because I feel like stables by design are really, you know, just to liquidate faster or something like that. Like, just it's not necessarily designed for you to just sit in it for days in and weeks in and in.
Right.
You know? And so again, I revert back to like, thinking like, well, man, maybe you kind of had this coming on yourself, thinking that you were going to seek safe haven in from crypto in a crypto.
Yeah. It's another layer of like what you, of rotation, basically. It's like you need to rotate out of that just as much as you need to rotate out of your shorts or long positions or whatever other position. Right. It's just a position.
Right. Yeah. It is a position.
So,
and that's the thing. I feel like people don't really, you know, because it's still such a mask or like a, it's so foggy as to what the real purpose of actual stable coin is. And so just in our little, you know, experiences, I'm like, damn, well, for me personally, if I'm like mid liquidation or something like that, then maybe I could stable up for like a couple of hours, maybe a day or something. But like, I'm not leaving excessive amounts of bags and nothing, especially some goofy ass fake stable. Like, that's supposed to be fake pegged to the US dollar. Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, speaking of coins, there was a rumor this week that Coinbase was going bankrupt.
Oh, that's where that meme came from.
yeah, that's where that meme came from. There was a meme that I was saying, you can earn up to $0 on Coinbase. Brian Armstrong came out and said the rumor wasn't true, but I think that was part of the FUD and, you know, just general weariness that everybody was feeling towards the market. And I think a lot of people also experienced the, you know, Coinbase shutting down. I think they did one of those Robin Hood things where they're not letting people pull out their money, you know, after the during the crash and all that.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I saw a few.
it was just technical difficulties that always happen when this shit happens. Same with the gas going up crazy amounts all of a sudden. Like, it's
can't sell it fast enough, huh?
Yeah. So yeah, what do you guys think about let me ask each of you to answer this individually. What is y'all feeling generally towards the market right now? Do you think it's going to remain like this? Do you think we're going to spin around and turn up? Like, what do y'all think? Mike, you can start it off.
Me?
Yeah.
You know, one of our friends made a good point, and we were talking about, you know, the previous crashes, and he was just mentioned, you know, took, you know, made note of like if the macro economics of the world is like, you know, totally different than it was, you know, the last kind of like crash or whatever. So, you know, I do believe that, you know, we'll start to recover at some point, but, you know, nothing happens in a vacuum. That's all we're saying. Right. Basically, that's my perspective. So it's like when that is going to occur, and I don't know. So no, I don't think we're going to stay like this. We will recover, but I don't have a timeline in my head, because it's just a lot of factors.
Yeah.
And a lot of like correlated markets to right. this market. So that's my answer.
And Mike, I kind of wanted to add to the correlated markets thing, because I get the question often as a gold broker, well, Mike, how come gold's going down along with the stock market, along with crypto, if it's supposed to be a hedge against those other markets? Because these are correlated markets, right? Everything is, these aren't, you know, individualized spaces. And so when it's time to liquidate, you typically liquidate from your most profitable position or your least negative position.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for precious metals, it's usually us. So we usually get caught in, you know, the stock guys or even now the crypto guys trying to cover their shorts. That then pulls the value or the price of gold and silver down significantly, temporarily, just temporarily. Once those shorts then get covered, you then start to see a spring back in commodity prices first, and then you see equity prices move after that. I go out of my way to not try to predict market cycles, because I just feel like that's not the most effective use of my time and energy. Try to just deal with what it is. Now, is it realistic that we're going to continue to lose 65, 70% per week? No, not realistic. But it could happen. And it's like, okay, so going back to Mike's point, how much conviction do you have in your project? Like, what are your stop losses? And these are questions that you got to constantly remind yourself, because again, you're playing with real professionals in here. And yeah, we're all amateurs, but there's also real professionals in here who do this for a living at a very high level, and or also using someone else's money compared to you losing your life savings. So it's just kind of, you got to be cognizant of like, this is all a game for sure. And there are other people playing at much higher levels.
Yeah, like Kathy Wood, she bought 500,000 shares of Coinbase on the rumors that they're going bankrupt. The stock is at, I think, $50-something. It opened at like 320 or something like that. Or maybe, was it 400? No, it was 320. Coinbase is $58 today. Yeah, this
Kathy 50... got a hit on something at some point. Yeah, she's like been all negative for like the last year and a half.
Yeah, it was 368 at the open, and now it's $58. So that's not a great look. She's playing Chris a different game. She's playing a different game than us.
Chris Epps is a much better investor than Kathy Woods.
I don't know. You see that now? No, I wouldn't have bought
it. I mean, you guys are both negative.
You guys are both negative.
We're just comparing negatives right now.
She's more negative than me, that's for sure.
My point exactly. So I'd rather be less negative than more negative.
Facts. Hey, you heard it here first. Financial advice. Hit me up.
It's giving you some prime trade analysis right there.
Less Will Smith cap.
Yeah.
Oh, my opinion.
Yeah, Chris.
Everyone's afraid and shitting themselves, so you should be buying and DCAing probably right now, and you probably have another chance to buy at this price or maybe a little bit lower in the next month. But I think that if you didn't buy last night, you might have missed the bottom of Ethereum. You could hit that again. It could go a little lower. But I think it's roll with the punches, and it's going to happen again next May. And I think you should just be buying Ethereum and Bitcoin and NFTs that me and Mike are talking about probably are probably the best investments, because we're not going to talk about the bullshit that we're buying small stuff. I'm numb, so I feel like, yeah, we're good. I think it's just what needed to happen. It sucks. It really sucks. And it's happened to me, and it's going to happen again to all of us. Like, we're going to be down a lot in a year or 2 years. But each time, you'll be up more exponentially, and you'll lose, and the market will be down more in dollar amount exponentially. So it's going to look crazier, but hopefully next year, it'll be down a million, and you're up 500,000 still. You're still at 500K.
Like, hopefully, you take profits.
Yeah, so you're at the 500K, and you only lost a million because the shit that you didn't sell is down a million. You know, right. It's a lot of baby steps, a lot of leaps and leaps backwards and falls backwards. But if you don't give up, then you'll be great, in my opinion. So,
yeah, because the thing that I see and that like kind of bothers me is that I see all these people online like dunking on crypto people and. You know, articles, oh, the crypto billionaires are losing all their money and all this stuff. You know, the smartest way to handle, I feel like, most investments is that if you invest $30,000 in Bitcoin when it's $30,000, if it goes up to $60,000, pull out your initial investment. And that way, everything that you're playing with is profit. This whole like losing your life savings when you could have taken profits. Like, I feel like a lot of people who are smart at investing have taken their profits and aren't feeling max pain. Like a lot of other people who just leave all their money in whatever the, you know, asset that's in flux. And so, you know, for the billionaires that they're speaking about, like, yeah, maybe they're not worth $15 billion today, they're worth $2 billion today. Like, I'm sure they've cashed out an appropriate amount that whatever happens in the market will not, again, who knows, but will not affect their day-to-day life. And so I guess the best advice is, all I'm saying is, make sure that you cash out an appropriate amount, that it does not affect your day-to-day life, and that you are over-leveraged in any market, whether it's the crypto market, the stock market, the fucking shoe market. Like, just don't put all your eggs in one basket, and you know, you won't get caught out there because Doquan is fucking up the game. And it's funny that his name is Doquan, because that's it sounds like Daquan but it's not. Yeah,
Stock X sales reps been telling niggas that now Nike has officially opened the lawsuit. So,
yep. So
on what? On the resale market?
Yep.
Yeah, Nike is suing StockX for selling fake shoes. So if you're buying shoes off StockX, they might be fake.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Blew my mind.
Wow.
Been telling you niggas that for a year and a half, bro.
Yeah,
because that's supposed to be they're verified.
Yeah,
that who like is verifying
authenticating them?
Yeah,
right.
No, I mean, they have an authentication process that people trust.
Yes, it's fugazi.
I didn't know anything about this.
Just what is fugazi. Their process?
They have a guy who looks like you who picks the shoe up, turns it around 7 times, looks in the inside, pulls the sole out, and goes. All right.
Yeah. Who knows less than you? Who knows way less than you?
There was experts at the StockX headquarters, dude. It surprises everyone.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shocking revelation, but honestly, when I go into places like Round Two and other spots, like they get, I mean, you know, I was having a, I bought like the Jordan 6 DMP version, whatever. And I'm like talking to the guy up there. And I'm like, yeah, I got out of the shoe game when these came out. This was actually like my exit. Yeah. And he didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. You know, he looked at me like I was like an old guy. Like, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. That's what's up, man. Like, you know, kind of shuffled me out. But it was just like so interesting to me because I'm like, damn, we're putting our trust into these, you know, kids who run these stores. They don't know shit. They don't know shit about any of the things that we know that are defining traits about shoes or whatever. The same can be said for I guess the crypto market. The inmates are running the asylum, and that's not really
for sure.
I think what's been exposed is that you can't put too much belief and trust in people, because people are behind all of this shit, whether that's the Azuki creator, one of the founders, whether that's the Terra dude, Daquan, or Ja Rule.
That, like, yeah, you can't like, trust Daquan, you can't trust Ja Rule, but you know Agamon. Who you know who doesn't have a CEO or isn't owned by a company?
But it's very manipulated.
It is very manipulated. Yeah.
It's Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Like, but I see what you tried to do.
You saw what I was trying to slip in right there.
I see where you were trying to go.
Yeah. But yeah, it is manipulated. The price of Bitcoin is definitely heavily manipulated.
Elon's the only motherfucker going to the moon.
Hey, he's running the game on all you motherfuckers. Last one.
Like you said, man, don't be overly positioned.
No,
but that's the thing. We're telling gambling kids who are not investors, to not gamble and have fun, while all the other friends are all gambling and having fun and appearing as if they're making money, which we all know there's only a couple of people really making money right now.
There's some people that hit some licks now. It's young people making money for sure.
Yep. And that's what makes it so attractive, you know, is that you see somebody hit a lick, it looks sweet.
But like you know, yeah, man, like nothing's by coincidence. And there's some people that got wrecked, but there's some people that are in great positions and are buying back their position right now.
Yep. Right.
Triple times, four times over.
Yep. So do you think we've seen the bottom?
I don't think so, me personally. But again, I'm not a prognosticator.
Yeah. Mike? Risa?
I hope so.
I think that's the best response.
Yeah.
I hope so. It's like the Kodak Black. I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. Hey man, I will give it to Bobby. My atom bomb has been holding up. That floor is definitely holding up.
Yeah. Shout out to Bobby Hundreds.
I think it's barely moved.
Yeah. He's got a solid community, man.
I mean, it's not, yeah. I don't think he has the politics and the corruption
right
behind the project that most have.
Right.
It is what it is. It's no, you know, artificial anything.
Yeah. Yeah, no man. Right. It's an interesting time for the market, man. I feel like we're going in a recession. I feel like the housing prices is going to be affected next. You know, usually when one domino falls, that means the rest are coming soon thereafter. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what the government does, any actions they take to try to, you know, prevent any further downturn or what. I mean, Bitcoin is back up to 31,000 right now.
What can they do?
I mean, they've done it already, right? They've done all of the...
What can they do? All they can do are lower and or raise rates.
Right.
All they can do.
Yeah.
And the rates have been at zero for a decade now.
Right.
Right. So now we're heating up and now they're like, well, we got to get them back to zero. But to get them back to zero, we got to take them up first to cool the economy off. So they're taking them up 6 times this year.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be interesting, man. I mean, good for gold again.
Right.
Good for what I do, but not good for the American public.
Right. Well, yeah.
There's a lot of housing being built. I just wonder who's going to be living in these motherfuckers.
Man.
So lend some context right now at Porter Ranch. There's a new community being built that's already fully subscribed. Mm-hmm. And the waiting list is 3 months to start at 1.4 million.
A lot of people
this got... This is 30 minutes outside of LA on a good day.
Yeah, a lot of people got money, man. A lot of people are in good positions to... you know, make some things happen for themselves, especially in terms of the housing market. But also a lot of people are approved for loans that, you know, 30 years is a long time.
Might default on that, Joe?
We'll see. I mean, inflation is going to increase. You know, we got 11% this month. So, bro, it's no telling what's going to happen in the next few years.
I'll give you this one on the way out, big dog.
Yeah.
So the number that they keep giving us, they keep citing us the CPI, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, they keep changing what the CPI is.
Right.
And so if they were to use the 1970s CPI metrics, right now, inflation's at 25%.
Yeesh.
CPI is?
Consumer Price Index. And so it's what they utilize to justify people who are hourly wage workers, they give them a pay increase every year based off of the CPI index or the CPI, the CP index, which is the CPI. And so they use that as a way to justify, you know, the increase. But they have now excluded housing, food, and fuel. So grocery stores, crazy. Gas prices are even crazier. And housing prices in Los Angeles are ridiculous. So where should this number really be at?
Yeah, it's definitely lower than what it really is. I'm sure it's going to be even more astronomical as the summer comes and everybody's using up all of the resources that we have, gas, air conditioning and the like, eating out and all of that. So yeah, we're in a crazy time. Nobody has said the R word yet in the government or anywhere else, but I think it's coming. So batten down the hatches, you know, and just prepare yourselves for what's coming next. I hope everybody stays safe out there. Take care of yourself. The new Kendrick Lamar album is dropping as of right now, supposedly. So maybe go listen to that, take a load off, stop looking at the charts, and yeah, enjoy yourself, enjoy life. It's meant to be lived. It's not all about money. But if you want to hear us talk about money, tune in to Crypto Bros next week. I'm your host, Jason Madison, for Chris Epps, Mike McGoy and Mike Risse. We out of here. Peace.